Hello, and welcome to the Atlanta Opera podcast, In the Spotlight. I'm Tomer Zvulun, General and Artistic Director of the Atlanta Opera, and we are glad you are here. I'm excited to introduce to you this new initiative. Blink Opera is a new way to engage with the art form that we love so much and the artists who bring it to life. Who better to bring you these stories than the artists who perform them and know them so well? So our premise is simple. We unpack the plot. We sprinkle in the highlights, share some anecdotes in the most time-efficient way. Blink and it's over. Just 10 minutes. Let's get started.
Hello and welcome to Blink number 2. I am Aaron Teachman, your host, as this journey continues. And if you are just joining us, a reminder. We built these blinks to give folks who are just getting into opera a hook, a way in, a reason to dig further either into this piece or into opera itself. And if you are already in, we hope they are an opportunity to spend some time with the stories and the music you know so well, even when you can't make it out to the theater, wherever and whatever shape that theater takes. We certainly hope you enjoy them. Tell your friends and tell us what you think of them. Our singer host is going to introduce themselves in just a moment, but before we begin, we must do some admin. Der Kaiser von Atlantis is the other show, along with Pagliacci, that Atlanta Opera produced in the fall of 2020 as part of the inaugural Molly Blank Big Tent series. It was a phenomenal experience to put on this show, a show about death, in a circus tent with circus performers. You can see it for yourself after the episode, filmed and edited wonderfully by Spotlight's own Felipe Barral. All of which is to say, the musical excerpts you are about to hear are from that production, directed by Tomer Zvulun and conducted by Clinton Smith. Ah ja, los geht's!
Hello, my name is Kevin Burdett. I am an Atlanta, Georgia-based opera singer who had the great privilege of performing the role of Tut, or Death, in Atlanta Opera's Molly Blank Big Tent series production of Der Kaiser von Atlantis, or The Emperor of Atlantis, in October and November of 2020. Der Kaiser von Atlantis was composed by Victor Ullmann, and the librettist was Peter Keen. The world premiere of the opera was in the Netherlands at the Dutch National Opera on December 16th, 1975. It was directed by a friend of mine and a friend of Atlanta Opera's, Rhoda Levine. The opera, while having been premiered in 1975, was written in 1943 at the hybrid concentration camp ghetto Theresienstadt, or Terezin. Tragically, both Ullmann and Keen were on one of the last transports east from Theresienstadt to the extermination camps and the killing sites in the east. They were transported to Auschwitz on the 16th of October in 1944, and soon thereafter were murdered at Auschwitz. The score survived Ullmann and survived Keen, having been protected by two camp survivors. While at Theresienstadt, they continued to work on their arts. In fact, Ullmann said that at Theresienstadt, he was more prolific than he had been prior to Theresienstadt. He relied on what he called the form of composition, the form of music, to allow him to escape from the material burdens of life. He said, in fact, he did not let it be known that he did not sit crying by the rivers of Babylon. They were never able to perform Der Kaiser von Atlantis at Theresienstadt. It was never performed in Ullmann and Keen's life. It was never performed for their friends and colleagues at Theresienstadt. But it lives on to this day, a testament to the incredible strength of the human spirit and the incredible power of storytelling. The opera begins with a prologue. Where we have Der Lautsprecher, the loudspeaker, setting the stage, introducing the characters, and introducing the audience to the setting of the opera. Or to the not really opera in four scenes. He starts with the emperor himself, who has locked himself away in a giant palace far away from the people whom he rules. And then he introduces the drummer, who is a not quite real person, like the radio, he says. The Lautsprecher also introduces himself and he says that he is heard, but not seen. The Lautsprecher also introduces a girl, a maiden, and a soldier. Does not go into much detail about them. And finally, the Lautsprecher introduces Death and Harlequin. After the prologue, we see Death and Harlequin sitting in Ausgedinge, having been put out to pasture. And we hear first from Harlequin. Harlequin sings an aria about the moon, in which he says the moon has deprived us of love and of laughter. And so he begrudges this loveless and laughterless life. Death enjoys Harlequin's banter, but is a little tired by it and mentions that he too is tired of the mundanity of life. And then they sing a duet, just one day like the next. Who will take this day? Who will take that day? They all blend together. After that duet, Harlequin asks Death actually to kill him. He says, I can't take it anymore. Death refuses the request, and they are interrupted by the drummer. Rattles off an introduction of De Kaiser von Atlantis. She talks about the emperor, and she doesn't just say, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about the great emperor. She goes, let's talk about the great, spectacular, unbelievable emperor. And she goes on and on and on about the incredibleness of the emperor of Atlantis. At one point, the drummer, in Death's opinion, pushes it too far. And she says, he references Death and said, hello, everyone. By the way, let me give a tip of the hat to Death, who has been great. He has an incredible, I would like to honor Death's incredible history and the emperor and the drummer's incredible future. And Death finds that a bridge too far and says, don't talk about my past and his future. What Death does is says, you will not question my power. And he breaks his sword. And by breaking his sword, he is saying, I will no longer allow death to happen. I am quitting. I am abdicating. I am refusing. And from that point on in the opera until the end, no one can die because death has quit. The next scene, scene two, takes place at the emperor's Riesenpalast, at his giant palace, where the emperor is monitoring his universal war and getting updates on that war from the Lautsprecher, who takes on different guises, a guise of a general, a guise of a doctor. And the emperor is distraught to find out that the universal war is not going as planned. He hears of a soldier who was hung and shot, but has not died. And then the emperor, who is at first distraught, has an idea. Here's the situation I can take advantage of. I can spin it to my advantage. He says, I have given my subjects eternal life. I, the all-powerful emperor, am now giving my subjects eternal life. In the next scene, scene three, we shift away from the emperor and we focus on the maiden and the soldier. The maiden and the soldier are at war and they begin to attack one another. Rather than attack each other, they begin to speak of love. All the while during their fighting, the drummer, their tromla, is interspersing throughout the interaction, throughout the battle, vignettes that the emperor has spoken thus far. The drummer, it keeps repeating certain of the phrases that the emperor has said as part of his propaganda. I give you eternal life. Death, where is thy sting? The maiden and the soldier put down their weapons and decide that they should in fact love, and they kiss each other, and they talk about a different world, a world that isn't dark. And the maiden says, oh, tell me, is there a world that isn't covered in clouds, that isn't craggy and dark? The trauma then interjects again and says, basically tries to seduce the soldier back into fighting through the seductive call of war. The battle drum with its tight skin calls the man, but the soldier refuses, and he and the maiden walk away to a life of love. After the maiden and the soldier together walk toward their future, we return to the emperor, who is somewhat distraught as he receives updates from the Lautsprecher on the war effort and finds out that his plans are not going well. Indeed, his subjects are protesting the lack of death. Harlequin comes onto the scene. He descends from the eternal realm to the temporal realm to address the emperor. He reminds the emperor of the emperor's youth. Remember when you were young, basically, how you wanted to run away to the circus. Harlequin reminds the emperor of his youthfulness because he's reminding the emperor that he is, in fact, human. Trommler comes onto the scene and disagrees. She tells the emperor to keep his eye on the prize, to not lose faith that he, and she sings a bombastic, militaristic tune. She really sings a passionate, militaristic tune to try to remind him that the propaganda is true. You must believe it. But the Harlequin takes it and shifts gears right after that. He shifts gears and sings to the emperor a lullaby. But the lullaby also hearkens to a different sleep, an eternal sleep.
Schlaf, Kindlein, schlaf. Ich bin ein Epitaph.
After the Harlequin's lullaby, the emperor has sort of lost the plot and starts to wonder who he is and question his identity. At one point he says, am I a man? In this moment, there starts a whirling, swirling trio. Are humans an adding machine of God, they ask. At the end of this whirling, trio, death steps and reveals himself to the emperor. Everything stops at that point. The emperor asks Death, who are you? Death says that I am a gardener. Death is not a bad thing. Death can be seen as a comfort and a respite and a relief. The emperor, however, did not find much comfort in it. Rather, the emperor resisted Death's overture and tried to explain why he shouldn't die, explained how he wasn't a bad person, and Death said, I will return, but only if you come first. I will take you, and then I will be able to take other people. The emperor then has a moment of clarity and realizes that he will have to acquiesce to Death. After Death takes the emperor Zampft in his hands, there is a chorale, a quartet of singers sings an ode essentially to Death, a song that praises Death and asks Death to lift the burdens from their breast and to lead them to a sleep and take sorrow away. Der Kaiser von Atlantis is an allegory about the duality of time, the temporal versus the eternal, as we see a people in the earthly ephemeral realm governed by a tyrannical emperor, but who realize that there is something greater than that emperor. There is something that transcends that emperor's atrocities in the form of the eternal, embodied by Death and Harlequin, who allow for a life that has pleasure and pain and love, and provide comfort when that life comes to an end.
And there you have it, Der Kaiser von Atlantis. If this blink has inspired you, please consider watching the entire thing over at Spotlight Media, stream.atlantaopera.org. At time of release, we have just finished up the Spring Big Tent series, an incredible run for our Three Penny Opera and our Three Penny Carmen. The good news is that, like Pagliacci and Kaiser von Atlantis before them, these shows are destined for the streaming platform, Spotlight Media. We'll put those films out as soon as we are satisfied that they are as good as they can be, which is a long way of saying there is no release date yet. But if you don't want to worry about dates, you can pre-order them at stream.atlantaopera.org right now. The Atlanta Opera is a nonprofit organization. If you are interested in supporting our artists and our company, please consider a donation today. Thanks for listening.